Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Tunde. Tunde is the founder of Wendy's. Tunde, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mustafa.
So before we deep dive into and hear your story about Wendy's, you know, what you've been doing prior to that, we would love to hear that.
Oh yeah, before Wendy's, I worked across different multinationals. I worked just before Wendy's, I was CEO for the Red Group. Red Group owns a couple of media companies that work across Africa. I was CEO for Red Media and another company under the Red Group. Before that, I was leading growth for Ringier here in Nigeria, and I was head of Play Studio, a company which I founded under the Ringier Group. Across Africa, like in different cities, in Nairobi, in Lagos, in Accra, in Ghana. So yeah, that's what I was doing before I started Wendy's. Interesting thing about Wendy's is I grew up on a farm, and some of the problems we solve here at Wendy's are directly related to problems that I used to experience as a kid. Also, very similar problems my co-founder Olumide used to experience on the other side of the marketplace. So yeah, that was me before Wendy's, and yeah, now I'm doing Wendy's.
Got it. Glad to hear. And you know, COVID came, unexpected times. How you navigated through that? You want to share your journey from what Wendy's was doing during the COVID? You want to share that journey?
Oh, so we started the company actually during the pandemic. So we had the idea before the pandemic, but we didn't start operations until the pandemic kind of hit. The pandemic was slow to get to Lagos because we had like maybe a month or two head starts, but it had started in the US and in China already. So by the time we hit Lagos, we had just started our operations. We started operations on the 1st of January 2020. And Lagos got shut down about 2 months later because of the pandemic. And it was a madness because so first of all, what Wendy's does is we're a marketplace that allows restaurants and other food businesses to buy directly from farms and food manufacturers. So essentially, we're like Amazon for restaurants and food businesses. So we started operations, and then all of a sudden, the users that we're supposed to have and monetize were being shut down. Like nobody could buy from them because they couldn't walk into restaurants. Everybody had to be at home. And that was a crazy period for us because it was scary because we had just quit our jobs. All four of us, I have three co-founders. And this was the thing we wanted to test to see if we could do at scale. And it turned out that just at about the time where we decided we're going to do this full time was when the government decided, you know what, all your users are going to be on lockdown. But something interesting happened during that period. So like you said earlier, when we were talking just before the show, COVID was a blessing ended up being a blessing in disguise, because after that first two weeks of the shutdown, where we were in full-blown panic, because at that point, we had acquired about three users, and then there were no others on the platform because, hey, these guys are not running their businesses. But what now happened was, because people now had to move to digital forms of placing orders, both on B2C side and on B2B side, all the restaurants that were pitched to up until that point started to hit us up to say, you know what, we want to test your services. And we had a special license from the government to handle procurement because we're a logistics company, because on the coast. And so all the orders they couldn't fulfill, like they couldn't go to the market themselves, they couldn't deal with other people themselves, they now started to route those orders through us. And that's how we started to grow even during the pandemic. In fact, during the lockdown, we grew about 300%. Like we started to get orders from people who didn't want to listen to us before, because now they couldn't even fulfill their procurement themselves. So it was a blessing in disguise because people now wanted to try the product.
Wow. So fundraising on Zoom, how was that experience? Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, so it was very interesting for us because this is not the first business that we've tried to raise funds for. Like, me and my co-founders have started the business before, but it didn't take off. So we tried fundraising before. So what we're used to is, you know, you have a meeting with a physical meeting with the potential investor, he sizes you up, you go for lunch, all that. Now we had to fundraise completely online. So we started our seed round when we launched publicly a year later. We've gotten into Y Combinator. I don't know if the audience understands. So Y Combinator is one of the biggest accelerators in the world. And our fundraise and even the accelerator itself was done completely online. And that was a bit weird for us, but it had its advantages. Up until the batch before us, everybody had to go to Mountain View for the YC cohort batch. But because everything was not online, we had the advantage of attending YC, but also continuing to run and grow our business in Nigeria. And that was a blessing in disguise. Yes, it would have been good to, you know, meet with the other cohort members, you know, meet with people in person, because in-person relationships are also very valuable. But we had the best of both worlds. Like, we could raise, we could attend the best accelerator in the world, but also be here in Lagos running our business. So I don't think it was weird raising money. I think it was easier, to be fair, raising money online than it would have been in person, because we could do way more meetings in a single day. Before, it would have made us hopping in taxis, going all over San Francisco or whatever city where we had to see the investor. But now we could schedule 7, 6, sometimes 10 meetings in a day and just talk to so many investors and get your yeses or your noes and then move on to the next one. So yeah, I think raising money online is way easier and gives you more access than raising money in person. But raising money in person helps you to develop closer relationships. So it's a give and take.
Got it. So your personal 3 pieces of advice you would give to startup founders on how to manage teams remotely. You know, what top 3 pieces of advice would you give? I would elaborate in regards to how to take care of the mental health of the team, you know, how that the burnouts don't happen, you know, those kind of stuff. So what steps or advice would you give to other founders?
What top 3 advice would I give to founders concerning what? I missed that.
On how to better manage remote teams.
Oh, okay. Yeah, number 1 will be communication. You have to establish clear communication protocols within your organization. One of the earliest things we did during the lockdown was get all of the team on Slack. Slack was a big saver for us. Like, we literally, even till date, run our whole company on Slack, because it helps us to monitor communication and helped us to communicate as much as possible, because transparency is very important for any startup in this post-COVID or COVID world. Number 2 thing is, you need to quickly move beyond the point where you have to micromanage and man-manage everybody and putting structures in place, structures that will run your organization automatically. That is very key, because if you're going to grow and scale in this world of a distributed workforce, you need structure in place that people can fit into and run the business without you having to micromanage every single aspect of it. And then the 3rd one will be establish early meritocracy. Like, let people be rewarded based on the value they bring to the system. That brings a lot of honesty, that brings a lot of transparency, and that encourages people to be at their very best.
Got it. Last question, you know, how do you see Wendy's 3 years from now?
Oh, definitely. I know saying Wendy's will be a unicorn 3 years from now is sort of like a vanity metric, but that will be one of the byproducts of how fast we're growing and the impact that we're having. Yes, in 3 years from now, Wendy's will be in at least 10 African countries, solving the problem we're solving for restaurants on the platform. And ultimately, what Wendy's goal is to fight food inflation and food waste by automating Africa's food supply. And we already see evidence of that even from the about 2,000 plus businesses on the platform. So we intend to extend our services to even more users and more restaurants so that they can have the benefits of being on the vending side of life.
Got it. Makes sense. Tony, thank you so much for being on the show. I would have loved to talk longer, but you know, we have to keep all our podcasts within 12 to 30 minutes, you know. Short and sweet is what we do. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Mustafa. It was good chatting with you. Bye.
And